ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of stuff. Jared?
Yes.
Does Walmart hate us?
I was thinking about that on the drive-in. I was thinking we should...
I stopped at El Reno.
Start a did you really?
I stopped at El Reno.
I was wondering if you did. If you stopped anywhere between here and there.
I stopped. Here's the deal. Yesterday afternoon, I got on the Walmart.com.
Uh-huh.
Where you can kind of look up what's in stock in
right.
a store.
Yeah, you can say in store, yes.
In store, in stock.
Okay. Any luck?
El Reno had three flavors of the seven.
Okay.
When I left. But then when I got there.
Gone.
After the game. Because I was thinking, man, I didn't really bring anything to hold this stuff, you know. As far as, you know, frozen, am I going to end up? So I thought I'll wait till after the game. The temperature's supposed to be cooler.
There you go.
So I can set it in the back of the FJ where it's cold, and maybe it won't melt by the time I get home.
Or
by
buy
the, you
one
know,
of
whatever.
Those styrofoam.
Yeah, and I could have done that too if I'd have found it. Because I trust me, all those thoughts are going through my mind. Okay,
yeah.
I'll just buy like the cheapest cooler I can find, put some ice in it. And freeze this stuff until I can get it home. And I walked in, and it was nowhere to be found. It was honey bun, oatmeal cream pie, and Swiss cake roll is what they said. But then, here's the deal. I think they might have actually had it and sold it because I checked when I got home back on the website.
Sold out.
And it said out of stock.
Okay, so that's not Walmart's fault. They just
now here,
maybe they just didn't stock
here,
enough.
It's just not here.
It's just flat out not
it's
here.
It's not here yet.
See, I was thinking about that on the drive-in. Do we need to start applying some pressure here? Do we need to call them live on air and go, hey, listen,
yes.
When are you going to get this ice cream?
Yes.
And just you know,
and not only us.
Talk to your, what is that, stock manager or I don't know the titles at Walmart. And just really, and are we sure it's just Walmart that's, are they exclusive?
Exclusive,
to,
yes.
It is exclusive
we know that.
To Walmart,
yes,
okay.
Yes, yes, yes. In the stories I've been reading about this ice cream, it is definitely exclusive.
We need to
exclusive.
Use the power of this radio show.
That's right.
Because we know we have a lot of listeners.
We to know, get we Little know Debbie that. Ice cream.
So
in
maybe the- they can, you know, in Matt, you know, come on. We're rallying for everything else these days.
That's right.
With signs and ridiculous causes. This is a great cause.
Yeah,
to
this
get
isn't
behind.
Ridiculous as all. This is
no.
a wonderful cause to get. So anytime, here's the deal. Until it makes its way out, and maybe it's just one of those. It takes longer to get to Elk City, Oklahoma, than a lot of other places. But my suggestion is this: every time you go to Walmart from here until we see it, ask them, "Hey, you guys going to get that Little Debbie ice cream?"
Yeah. And for to preface for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, Little Debbie's come out with some ice creams. Based on their popular snack cakes and treats.
That's correct. Seven flavors.
Seven different flavors all look fantastic instead of the oatmeal cookie, but you think that's going to be good.
I think it's going
to
be
but
good.
But we have to have that taste test, and we can't if they don't supply it at Walmart.
Yeah, I was looking.
We need help.
I actually looked around the city once I knew that the game is at 6, thinking, okay, how far can I go clear to Memorial and check out that Supercenter if it's in stock and then come back? And I settled on El Reno because El Reno is the only one that when it popped
showed
up on
up,
the online search
up.
Yes.
See, I'm the same way as you. I'm thinking, okay, Friday, I have a long trip to Billings.
Yeah, Enid.
So far, I think I do.
Right.
Well, the route says go through the city, go to 35 and straight up.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's a lot of Walmarts. I saw Weatherford, UConn, El Reno.
I looked at Weatherford because on the way, I was thinking.
Guthrie.
That might be perfect for, you know, get back to Weatherford at 10. Then I have a shorter distance to travel home. Plus, it's going to be the coldest it's going to be on the trip. This would maybe Weatherford, but it didn't even register in the database. So, anyhow, when you go, anybody going to Walmart, just ask them, hey, are you guys going to get that Little Debbie ice cream?
My 2-hour, 45-minute trip to Billings
might
turn into 5 because I'm making a stop at every Walmart in between.
Or just find the one.
Or just find the one.
I'm convinced, maybe, I can't decide if I am convinced or not, but I think I'm convinced that sure enough, El Reno had it.
Yeah,
they
and
just
they just
sold
it. Out. That's fine.
Yes, because the status changed.
Right.
From in stock to out of stock, and the others were always out of stock.
Man, we got to find this ice cream.
Yeah, here's the problem. I'm afraid I'm building it up so high in my mind
it's not gonna
that
be.
It can't be anything but a giant letdown.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted you to know that for the sake of the show, I stopped at El
That's
Reno
great.
Trying
I
to get some ice
cream. I
actually
thought about you last night. I wondered if you were going to do
did.
That.
I did. Okay. I pulled off at the
I almost called you on my drive home because I knew you'd be off air because you started 30 minutes before I did.
Yeah, normally that doesn't matter.
Well, we had a lot of stuff going on last night. Of course, there's senior night over at Hammond, and they had this really cool pink out thing between games. So took a little extra time, but I was pretty confident you were off air by then.
All right, so there's everybody's update because we were wanting to do a taste test today with the ice creams. That is your update. We can't find it yet. But it only was released yesterday, so maybe it's just, listen, everything else with the supply chain is taking forever. So maybe Little Debbie is right there with it as well.
From the text line, I don't know if this is bad news, but it said the Billings game might be canceled. So sorry to give you bad news, but the game might be canceled.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put that into the good news column.
Listen, it wasn't that we don't want to play. It's just it's so far away.
And it looks like two scrimmages.
Long. Now, my first clue was when I called Billings to get their rosters. Like, yeah, no problem. We'll email that to you. I did that on Monday. Never got him. That might have been a sign where they're thinking, you know what? That guy's not coming.
Maybe so.
This is from an unofficial source, although he's pretty official.
I have a feeling I know exactly who that is.
Yeah.
High school basketball last night. We'll hit that. Did you get to check out the scene in Lubbock? Did you see who showed up?
Well, Coach Beard showed up.
Yeah, but who else?
I didn't see any highlights.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
if
you can.
In Lubbock, of all places.
In Lubbock, Texas, for this game specifically.
Who showed up? LeBron.
No. Like, if you could think of, all right, who in sports / pseudo sports would you want to show up to really generate some excitement in your crowd? Like, what group of kind of athletes or athletes, depending on what you believe there, with what they do, what group is known for, like, the hype, like getting people hype? Like, that's part of their job in the job they do.
Is it like ex-sports guys, like Tony Hawk or something?
Different demographic.
I'm drawing a blank. Is it the guys from Jackass? Are those athletes?
No. These guys. I mean, it's a sport.
You're air quoting.
Yeah, because I don't know if what they do is real.
Esports? I don't know.
No,
what is?
No.
You got to fill me in.
Wrestlers.
Oh, yes.
WWE.
Yeah, that's definitely a
wrestler.
Listen, athletically, that's a sport.
Okay.
A little staged, but
a guy showed up last night to get the crowd going in Lubbock.
Was it Stone Cold?
Nope.
Oh, man. I could only imagine. Who could it be?
I mean, who is the all-time guy you'd want to show up?
Ric Flair?
Ric Flair was in the house.
Yes.
In a red and black Texas Tech colored boa, getting the
amazing
crowd fired up.
Ric Flair.
That's when you know you had a big game on a Tuesday in Lubbock. What's when Ric Flair's
nickname?
In the house.
Golden
the
Boy?
Nature Boy.
The Nature Boy. Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
Did they do a 30-30 on him?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a great one. Wow.
Speaking of the text line, we've got somebody lined up to want to be
food
the ice cream
gets
tester.
A response. We should have just a
you know
show
what?
Full of food. That's
I'm pretty sure Monty's not the only one that would ask to be a part of that taste test or be a part of that job.
You know, it's going to be hard to find. You know why? You know what's coming up? Valentine's Day. You know, everyone's going to be grabbing that ice cream for the special Valentine's night. It's going to be hard to find. This was strategically released around this holiday. For the sweets.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, I'm ready to taste it. And
we're
going to
find it.
I will keep looking.
I may
go to Walmart.
Like, my Friday might have opened up, so I might just go on a hunt on Friday.
I may go to Walmart on a daily basis just to kind of check it out and see if it's been there yet or not. All right. We got that. Brian Flores, you see some of that stuff breaking last night?
No.
Suing the NFL for racial discrimination in his hiring.
Yeah. Of course, you know, guilty until proven innocent, so the NFL is
that's
totally racist now.
Yeah, I got some thoughts on that. The WFT, is no longer.
Right.
The WFT has a name.
And I saw it and I go, WTF?
Yeah, exactly. You and a lot of other people. I think it's funny what they call themselves. And then if you shorten that name, it's perfect for the town that they're in.
Yes, it is.
Daylon Thompson's going to sign at Southwestern today. It is the second signing day.
Yep.
How much will Oklahoma State add to the early signing classes? Do you see what Lane Kiffin said about the NIL?
It's basically like a salary cap, or what do you say? Something to that effect.
Yeah, he's kind of.
I can only imagine what he.
It was pretty good.
Said.
Saban is, speaking out against it.
Wow,
which is incredible. Part of it's probably because he's got the thing figured out underground.
Listen, man.
But I think he makes some good points about why he's speaking out against it.
My first thoughts on it, I think, are starting to come true based on the news that came out yesterday with Caleb Williams. And I'll jump into that when we start
talking. And by the way, in the least surprising move of all time, Caleb Williams is going to USC. And the high school hoops from last night. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. Use 225-9698 to text us. We're trying to get counts, essentially.
Yeah, I broke my phone this morning.
Yeah, to know what everybody's where everybody's texting in. So 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text about any of those things, whatever else might be in your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. KADSAM.com is a live stream there, or the Paragon app. You can download that app. You've got all kinds of things. It's free to do. Three radio stations, the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. And actually, the print edition, I think, is going to start, as long as the weather holds off, it looks like the print edition is going to be dispersed today because it's already here.
Right. He went and got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went and got it yesterday.
Yeah,
went early.
Yeah.
But because of what was the impending doom being forecast for this afternoon and into tomorrow.
Did you happen to look for bread and milk when you were in Walmart?
I did not. I was, because where the ice cream was situated at the there in El Reno, you walked dead into it. Just boom, it was right there.
Yeah.
Akin to what it's like here, except for instead of walking through produce, you kind of walk through the bakery.
Isn't it weird when you go to a Walmart, you know exactly where everything is, even though it's slightly different from your home Walmart?
It's slightly different, but it's kind of the same.
It's like you just body knows that this is where it's going to be, whatever item you're looking for.
It's a little bit of a template with certain things tweaked depending on where you're at.
Walmart is taking over.
It's like they're geniuses. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. We got the Penny News will be out. You can probably go get a brand new edition of the print copy of the Penny News here quickly, if not right now, in most
locations. While you get your bread and milk, I bet it'll be right
there.
Well,
the problem with that is you probably should have done the bread and milk thing yesterday from the photos that I've been seeing around.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Did you see the tweet today?
No.
For the 17th consecutive year, the top bread and milk salesman in the state of Oklahoma, you know whose picture it was?
David Painter, Mike Morgan.
Mike Morgan.
Mike Morgan.
We got the Skinny on Sports.
You know you're
podcast
from Oklahoma when you can answer that immediately.
Yeah, both guys are the same profession. You can't decide which one's been there longer. Skinny on Sports podcast is also available. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen, KADSAM.com or iTunes. All right, so let's start with the hoops last night. Boy, Elk City got it handed to them twice as Bethany. The girls rushed out. The Lady Broncos are at 28-2 at the end of the first quarter. They win 77-28. And all of a sudden, after winning 5 of 6 coming out of the Christmas break, the Elkettes have dropped their last four. Three last week, and then they lost last night, obviously, to Bethany. And so they've kind of hit a skid. We talked on Monday how those three games really hurt their chances of maybe – when you look at 8-6 going into last week, if you can figure out a way to get to 10-7 – with a 3-point loss against Sayre and a 3-point loss against Blanchard, if you flip those, but that seems like a long ways away now in just 8 days. Coming off the third place finish at Altus in the tournament, playing pretty good basketball, and even battling in the loss to Lawton Mack, in which they're just overmatched from a size standpoint, but really battled hard. That seems like, last season all of a sudden, with the way these last four went, especially Saturday. Over in Weatherford, and then last night against Bethany, where the Elkettes were just totally They were just outclassed from the tip and never really even in the game at any point last night. And so they've now lost four in a row. Chickasha coming to town for senior night on Friday. The Big Elks, one of the few times that they've really been blown out. 71-48 was the final. They were down 30 at one point there in the third quarter. Bethany was athletic. They had a big, big dude, 6'9 dude in the middle. And the Elks, it was one of those games, and this is just going to be the truth with Elk City on the boys' side. Very rarely are they going to have the size match, the matchup in their favor, so they're going to have to hit shots, and they didn't. And when they didn't hit shots in the second and third quarters, Bethany did. They got beat up on the boards, just not, you know, both teams really did on the offensive glass, got, you know, for a majority of the night. And so both teams lose. 71-48 for the Elks. And as I mentioned, you got Chickasha Friday, Tuttle Down on Saturday, and then three games next week, or, well, three games left on the regular season schedule. At Altus Tuesday, at Newcastle next Friday, and then the regular season finale will be Valentine's at Elgin. So some long road trips, only the one home game on Friday. And it's the Elkettes, schedule-wise, it lightens up because some of those teams are teams that that Elk City should absolutely beat. But right. They're not playing very well. Right. Now, on the boys' side, they're playing better, but they also are going to have some tough ones. You know, yeah. You know, really and truly, outside on these next four for the girls, or next five for the girls.
They should win four.
They
five.
Should win four of them. No, yeah. They ain't winning five.
I
no offense.
Four of
yeah,
five.
Yeah, okay,
four
yeah. Yeah, they have a great chance to win four of five outside of going to number one Tuttle on Saturday. The boys, it's tougher for them, and so – they're going to have to, you know, this game against, you know, I guess they don't matter at the end for playoff stuff because that comes out Friday anyways. But just to get kind of some good feeling, some good mojo back, you know, Chickasha is a game they need to win. You know, see what happens with some of the others out. This is a game they should win. And then a couple of toss-ups. Well, Newcastle will be a tough one, and then a toss-up probably against Elgin at the end. You, on the other hand, saw the upset of the night.
Yeah, you know, I had a feeling about Canute girls going in, Canute beating Hammond last night, 57-46. I had a feeling. I keep going back to the West Central Basketball Consolation Championship game between Canute and Sentinel, how they played a tight game and were able to come out on the high side on that one and win. And then they went and rolled their next couple of opponents. Now, you know, the quality opponent, not as good, but still able to score in the 60s and look consistent. And I had this feeling that they were kind of getting on a roll. And the real test of that was last night on the road in Hammond, number two out of Class B. Very, very good team. And Canute just came out. Now, listen, Canute played dang near perfect basketball in that first quarter. In the first, shoot, 2-3 minutes of that game, you had Jade Gray hitting a couple of three-pointers. The game started with Kylie Smith just running and gunning with a couple of buckets. And then in the second quarter, Abby Janning had a couple of three-pointers. When Kylie's going to get 20-plus points every night. That's a given. But when Jade Gray and Abby Janning start putting it through the hoop from outside, it's a very, very tough team to beat. And that's what happened last night. That twice, Hammond was able to get it down within 10 sometimes. I don't even think it was this single digits, but they got it within 10 in the fourth quarter with a lot of time. But credit Canute. That's where I go back to that Sentinel game. Okay, you're getting tested here. They were battle-tested then. They knew how to rise up in a hostile environment and just basically keep Hammond at arm's length and hold on for the win. So obviously biggest win of the year. And what's that mean moving forward? Then wrapping up the regular season should be okay. District should be okay. You know, what looms to me, what I'm always going to keep an eye on now, is Coach Ellison and those Navajo girls. Because now all of a sudden it looks like that could be a good game in the regionals come playoff time, if that's the opponent. And if Canute can just continue to get better with each game. And right now they have been since that Sentinel game.
See, that's the interesting thing to me about Canute. This is kind of a cliche in sports, but I think it is dead true with this team. They can beat anybody, and they can lose to anybody.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head, and we have talked about this a few different times throughout the season when discussing the Trojanettes. When they get help from others outside of Kylie Smith, That team is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the nights, she's going to be the best player on the floor for either team. And so you kind of know what you can expect there. Now, there's certain games where the ball doesn't go in or foul trouble can creep up or whatever. But for the most part, you know what's coming from her. And then it's not necessarily the pressure of it, but it's just the truth. The Canute goes is going to go how the rest of the team goes.
Yeah.
And if that's a state tournament run, I could see that being possible.
Well, here's the thing.
I could also see it going the way it did last year in a couple of bad games, and boom, you look up and you're out.
Yeah. And everybody who touched the court for the Trojanettes scored. And that doesn't happen every night. When you have Kelly Thompson scoring, you have Emily Cantwell coming off the bench and scoring. And that was the only one who came off the bench. That's how what I meant when everything went right. And that should give all those girls confidence. I know that they're good players. I've seen it.
That's right. They've all played great games throughout the season.
Yeah.
Just not necessarily consistently, or maybe even not necessarily at the same time.
Yeah. Last night was a good example of when they all played their role and contributed. They're a hard team to beat. Kylie Smith finished with 24 points. My player of the game was Abby Janning because she hit 3 3-pointers, was just feisty as they get on defense. She finished with 12 points. Jade Gray with 8. Like I said, everybody's scoring last night. Henley West, she had a game-high 25 points, but only 8 first-half points. The rest came in that catch-up mode in the fourth quarter, but every time she would do something, Canute would answer, especially Kylie Smith. So it was a fun game if you're a Canute fan. Frustrating, I know, if you're Hammond, but that doesn't mean the season's over. I think Hammond's still one of the top 2 teams in Class B. This might be one of those wake-up calls for him.
I don't worry about that for Hammond.
No.
Maybe it shows a little bit of a matchup issue if a team down the road kind of has that type of player where, maybe too athletic for everybody outside, and then, it doesn't sound like they got West in foul trouble, which is something that's got to be kind of a worry if you're Hammond of what's back behind her. As far as post, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. the rest of them kind of seem all in that 5'6 to 5'8 range. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Some out on the wings, they all kind of are the same except for her, right? And it reminds you so much of the team that won it all. They're all kind of the same except for Morris. And then, of course, there was also Addie Wilson off the bench as a freshman who was, a taller player, that served her role. But it doesn't bother me if I'm Hammond, whatever. We lost that game. It doesn't make a hill of beans at the end of the day. But for Canute, I think that's a big confidence boost, a big win to know that you can go toe-to-toe and that everybody outside of Kylie can really contribute to a win. And I think right here on the text line, this is exactly right. And I've thought this for ever since I saw her take Sentinel to the state tournament. Tatum really is a great coach. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
And the thing about her, you mentioned Cantwell, the only one that came off the bench. She's also very, very used to coaching teams with very small rotations. Well, Leah does the same thing.
Leah only put in a couple players last night.
That's right. Yeah. That's a natural reaction down the stretch of the seasons into the playoffs is you're going to go with who you trust. And who's proven that they're trustworthy throughout the season. And if it's just 5 of them, we'll ride with 5. If there's 6 or 7, even better, we have kind of a buffer in case foul trouble comes. But, that doesn't bother me either if you're Canute, because she is used to managing in-game situations mm-hmm. with no bench or a very, very small bench at her disposal.
Yeah. Good news is Coach Beer is probably going to still get a nice Mother's Day gift. Bad news, Coach Riddling might get the...
Well, she's a mother, too, even though I'm sure Leah's not getting her a Mother's Day gift.
Anywho, that's always fun for me.
What was it at the end? Did they just give each other a hug, or did they just kind of act like they didn't know each other? How'd that work?
I didn't really take note of that. I'm sure it was cordial.
Did mom, roll her eyes at daughter and go, really?
I don't know.
What are you doing here?
It's
senior night up in here. What are you doing?
On the other side, the boys, Canute boys, it was a struggle. They were only up 3 points at half. Hammond had beat Canute at the 5 county and pretty handedly. They tried to catch up. but that score was kind of misleading. It was all Hammond in that game, Canute. So they came back. They were without one of their starters last night. Jackson Beck was out, not with the C word. So let's not start a rumor here. He was just out with the sickness. But Aiden Brown came in, stepped in nicely, had 12 points. Colt Randall was efficient as they get. Game high, 25 points. Canute holds on to win 61-50 in that one. And they too, after that Fort Cobb loss, that could be a backbreaker loss when you lose like that to a really good Fort Cobb team. They've bounced back pretty nicely right there. And it was nice to see, you know, a shakeup in the starting lineup, but it didn't mess with rhythm.
Yeah.
And that's so that's that was nice to see. But again, Colt Randall, he was, you know, he'll have his nights where he's not scoring, but he's still efficient on the court. And you know what I'm talking about, just a leader. Last night he started the game, first quarter, 9 points, and never really looked back.
I think they're an interesting team to me, that they fall. There's a couple of teams that feel like they're going to go one of two ways, and it's teams that we thought might be pretty good at the first of the season. Them, and I also think the Merritt girls are in kind of a lull right now. When you look at their score last night, they did win 45-43 over Cheyenne Raiden, but that's a game that's way closer than what you would think. Merritt's racked up some losses here. They had actually lost three straight before that win, that close win last night against Cheyenne Raiden. So you wonder if it's just kind of one of those kind of mid to late season.
Well, we talked about that
where
yesterday.
Where you start struggling, and at this point in life, you never know who's playing and who's not because of what's going on with the sickness and all that. So there's circumstances that are either in your control or sometimes not. But those two teams kind of feel like a little bit teetering to go one way or the other. And both of them we thought were going to be pretty good and have been pretty good at times. And then you look up and you go, whoa, Canute got beat by 40? What? What just happened? You know, and
yeah.
that doesn't make any sense. You know, and then Hammond or Merritt, it's not like they lost to bad teams. You know, you look at that three-game losing streak, Sealing is absolutely a state title contender in Class A. Hammond's absolutely a state title contender in Class B. And then the other loss was Tarapoa Butler, which is a state tournament-type team. So it's not like they were losing, you know, to bad teams, and the scores outside of Sealing were pretty close. But also it does appear when you look at the scores and the amount of points put on the board, you wonder if what kind of was their undoing last year, and that was not enough consistent offensive firepower, is creeping back up as they start playing the better teams and the teams that can handle the pressure that Merritt wants to put on you that leads to easy buckets, and all of a sudden they're up in the 50s or what have you. When the game slows and they have to execute offensively, can they do it? And in the last three, it's been a little bit of a slog, not getting to 40 in either loss to Hammond or Rapo Butler, and then only 45 last night against Cheyenne. So you wonder, you know, what's kind of going on there with the Oilerettes. We will know where everybody's headed coming up on Friday, 2A through 4A, as the pairings are released. I got to tell you, let's just run down the scores. Rapo Butler, outside of Canute girls, I think the Rapo Butler boys were also the team of the night. 44-26, blew Hinton out. Hinton number 5 or 6 in Class 2A.
That's a good win.
They blew them out. Rapo Butler blowing out the Hinton girls doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I've seen both those teams with my own eyes. 74-30. I mentioned the Oilerettes, 2-point win over Cheyenne Raiden, 45-43. The boys blew out the Bears, 65-40. Eric swept Blair, 37-33 on the girls' side, 53-39 on the boys. And then Leedy split. Moreland topped the Lady Bison, 52-24. The Bison, watch out, telling you, watch out. 49-30, the Leedy Bison over Moreland. That's your kind of your high school basketball wrap from last night. A lot of it's starting to get exciting for me as we're by the time next week rolls around and A and B are starting and we know the pairings for 2A through 4A, we know what kind of the paths are. I'm going to say this, and this, if anybody that knows me knows how hard it is for these words to come out of my mouth, but watch out for the Weatherford Eagles. They went to Newcastle last night and got a win over the Racers.
Oh, I didn't even check
so
that.
So all of a sudden, you know, we talked about it yesterday. Are they just beating up on some teams that aren't very good? Or, you know, have they beat Newcastle last night, 67-63. I believe it was on Newcastle's home floor. It was. That's a big win.
Yes, it is.
And they're a team sitting there at 17-3 now. They were 16-3 before the rankings locked on a 10 or 11 game winning streak. You got to wonder how they're only number 12. Seems criminal. And I promise you, those teams in the top eight,
they do not want,
see that team in their regional.
Not at all.
Like thinking, oh my gosh, we got to play them on Thursday night. First round of regionals. Thanks a lot, OSSAA. Watch out for the Weatherford Eagles.
Yep.
Hit that text line, 225-9698.
Some you good got
your,
stuff.
Your thoughts on anything? Right. I'm gonna skip the order here.
All right.
I'm gonna go down because of one of the texts we got. And he'd seen this last week and we really didn't touch much on it. More from the Big 12 side. Mm. And it was the Big 12 in 2023. Trying to figure out and set up a schedule to have 14 teams in the conference and then have 17 divisions, right?
Right.
And so then you go, wait a minute, 14, who all is there? Well, that's everybody that's there now with Oklahoma and Texas not leaving yet, plus the four newbies with BYU, with Houston, with UCF, and with Cincinnati. Now, okay. I think – when this all was kind of being decided, and refresh my memory if I'm wrong, but it seems like 2023 was always going to be when BYU came into the conference because they were independent.
Yeah, they're not tied to
and they kind of had their schedule made for 22. The Big 12 was there up in the air with OU and Texas, what was going to happen. So 2023 was going to be BYU, and then possibly 25 for the others when the two left. And that does seem to be like that timeline specifically is being sped up with Houston, with UCF, and with Cincinnati wanting to get after this year, after this coming year of football, then being in the conference after that. And with the money, with the exit fees being so exorbitant with Oklahoma and Texas, it seems like the conference, the Big 12 anyway, is working towards how do we deal for 2 years with 23 and 24 with Oklahoma and Texas staying put and all of our new people coming in. Now, I think there's lots of legal questions there. You know, with the conference changing its, you know, membership, does that at least negate some or all of the exit fees that Oklahoma and Texas would have to pay because it's a different conference than what the grant of rights they signed up for? They didn't sign up for four more mouths to feed.
Yeah, that could be an out
with
for
the current
them.
Deals. Yeah, I mean, it is this a way for the Big 12 to try to speed this along with Oklahoma and Texas to leave? I mean, you wouldn't think so because that contract is set in stone until a certain date, so they're getting that money unless it's going to have to be renegotiated or whatever. And so it's hard to believe that they'd be trying to push them out. But at the same time, maybe that's what this is about, to get everything settled at 2023. That way, the negotiations on the new deals are there and everybody knows what they're dealing with.
I'm still not convinced that OU and Texas are going to be around until the deal expires in, what, 25? I'm just not 100% convinced that's a thing. I think eventually between now and then they're going to find a way to get out, pay it out, or find a loophole to get out of it. If something like this happens, we're like, we're not sharing our money. And that's a breach of contract that we're able to walk away from. So I'm not convinced that they'll be around to be in a 14-team league.
Yeah, I never was to start
with. Kind of, I won't believe it till I see it on Labor Day weekend, whatever year that may be.
You know, but it's funny because I kind of agree with you more, but when you listen to people around the country, their thought is, well, are they really going to leave?
Are they really going to leave the Big 12?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that? Why would they say that?
Because they can stay here for two more years before they don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
And then they see, wait a minute, this is a better deal than going there. I don't know if that's true because I think that assumes that what's being brought into the Big 12 has some fiscal advantages that aren't there right now without those four. Meaning they bring money to the table that will satisfy not all of what Oklahoma and Texas were going to gain financially by the move, but enough of it to where then you look, okay, we've got a pretty good competitive advantage here. Plus, we're making almost the amount of money we'd make in the SEC. Do we really want to make that move?
So basically the Big 12 making it more attractive to stay.
Correct. And the networks making it more attractive to stay.
Well, yeah.
From a financial standpoint. I don't think that holds much water.
The short-sighted view of that would be, yeah, it'd be attractive to stay, but I think in the long run, the long term, you'd want to go to the SEC. Right. I mean, I get the competitive side of it. It's a big rumor why he left. OU. I can't even say his name.
Tebow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know if I could say that on air.
We're just talking about Tim Tebow.
Oh, okay. No, we're not.
They don't have to know that.
They don't have to know what the
secret's
letters.
Out.
Yeah.
Way to go, Jared.
But I think in the long run, you'd want to be in the SEC. Like,
well,
if the dollar for dollar was the same, I'd want to be in the SEC.
I think it's interesting.
You take
because
your lumps, sure. Competitive, field. And
I'm not convinced that's
court,
true either.
As evident as last weekend. But I think in the long run, I mean that I think the money gets bigger and bigger when you have a conference that has Alabama and Texas and Oklahoma and Florida and Tennessee and Ole Miss, and more people want in on that to broadcast, and I think the deals, the contracts get bigger and bigger as compared to a conference with, I'm sorry, but Houston and BYU and Central Florida. It's like, oh, well, okay, that's nice, but you're telling me we can pay a little extra to broadcast the SEC? That's just me. But I go back to, I'm just not convinced that we will see a conference that has OU in Texas and Houston, BYU, Cincinnati and Central Florida. I don't think it's going to happen, but.
Nah, it's super strange. You just don't see like lame duck teams there very long.
No, that's the thing too. You don't see that. You didn't see that with Nebraska.
You're about to see
Colorado.
It for 2 years, and I don't remember it happening any time for two seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nebraska, Colorado, A&M, Missouri. They played the one last year. And then that was it.
Yeah.
But
the longer they stay, I don't think is good for OU and Texas. And quite frankly, I don't think it's good for the Big 12 because there's just – I think the relationship just gets sour and sour. It gets more awkward and, you know, the media days and you got them all under one roof. You got the commissioner looking at the OU and Texas guys. Well, you're going to leave here. What are you even doing here? You know, it just – I don't think it's healthy for anybody.
Dude, I mean, here's the question, though. And to the texter's point, the AAC is the one kind of pushing this as much as anybody because they want to get replacements for those teams that are leaving their league.
Right.
Which it's a domino effect, but it's almost a domino effect uphill this time with the smaller one wanting to push out to the bigger, you know, push them out to the bigger conference they
want
to go to.
Why would the AAC try to make it more attractive for Houston, BYU, and Central Florida and Cincinnati to stay?
Because they're out. They're not.
Well, my point is, if they're trying to push them out so they can get replacements, why not go ahead and get your quote-unquote replacements, and then those guys go, oh, I think I'd rather stay. Kind of the same effect like what they're talking about OU and Texas.
Well, the difference is you're talking about a non-Power 5 mm-hmm. versus a group.
Well, that
of
doesn't
five.
Matter anymore. Cincinnati got in the playoffs.
Yeah, but it does, too, because good luck getting another one in after the way they got treated by Alabama. But I mean, but you're talking about Power 5 to Power 5 from Big 12 to SEC. No matter what, one of them has more prestige and more money to offer, sure. But it's still, you've got a seat at the table type thing versus down in the AAC, you don't.
Yeah.
And
unless expansion actually happens, which who knows when that'll happen.
Who knows if it happens. But even then, you'd rather be in the Big 12 because you're fighting against your 12 teams versus all of the group of five.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's one slot for you in the non-group or in the group of five teams. If you're in a Power 5 conference, you've got theoretically what? Your conference and five others. So there's six slots available to you. Whether it be winning your conference or an easier route to having an at-large bid.
Right.
I think it's an interesting dynamic because here's my question. If Oklahoma and Texas have expressed the feeling to the conference, that being the Big 12 conference, that they're not leaving early, they're not paying $120 million to get out before the grant of rights is over. Does the Big 12...
Excuse me.
All right, does the Big 12 start to actively recruit them to stay, i.e., get them involved in these discussions about how to split up a 14-team league? Or do they just treat them as the lame duck and then burn every bridge possible to coming back and not actually going to the SEC? Because you take the stance of, well, you're not going to be here in 2 years anyway. We don't give a darn what you think. That's why it doesn't make sense for him to be here.
No, I agree.
That's why it doesn't make sense for him to be here outside of $100 million.
Right. Totally agree. I really don't know how to answer that question. Because I agree with you.
Don't know?
I just don't know.
All right, let's talk real quick, Caleb Williams. Is anybody surprised? Are you surprised?
The other Tebow.
Are you surprised?
No.
I mean, I think it's hilarious when you hear people talking about, well, he just exhausted. No, he didn't. He ran out the clock. Because you know what's not happening now that would have happened Tuesday? The Alamo Bowl was on a Wednesday. So that following Monday, you know what would have happened? People would be screaming and yelling and hating him.
Right.
But that's – look how little of that's going on.
Yep.
That's all this delay was designed for, was to take the heat off of, A, the guy he's going to play for, Lincoln Riley, and B, himself. You'll never convince me, ever.
Yeah, he knew where he was going.
That any of this was nothing more than a charade just to buy time to make the reaction lessened.
Yes.
That's all this was. He was always going to USC. That's why Mario Williams committed to USC 2 weeks ago, because he knew Caleb was going there. Everybody did. Now, in a more sinister light, did he delay this without committing to a certain school to try to recruit guys that were at the former school and felt like he could do that in a more upfront way? Where it wasn't...
Yeah, I think there's a little bit to that. I do. I think there's a little bit to that. You know, right now it's best described as, and I've heard it described like this, right now with the NIL and transfer portal and everything, it is the wild, wild west. And I don't know what you have with what Nick Saban said and what Kiffin said, but there needs to be more, you know, a little bit more regulation on this. Because that came to my mind when this transfer portal and then the NIL, and I thought, you know, it's going to turn into a situation where a team will be gutted. And I never thought it'd be a blue blood like Oklahoma. And I'm not saying to the point where it's going to demolish the program, but if you think about it, there could be programs who aren't as stable or tradition rich like Oklahoma. Something like this happened to, it could set them back 10, 15, 20 years. Like, imagine if this happened. Okay, go back. You know, how awesome was Robert Griffin III, and he had Art Briles. Imagine if this was, that was, the, or then was now. Art Briles leaves to go to USC. He takes Griffin with him, takes a few players with him. It'd be hard for Baylor to recover from something like that.
I think you can make the point that they had to recover for something worse.
Well, yeah, that's a good
and
point.
Have.
That's a good point.
You know, but I know what you're saying, though.
See what I'm saying? That
Absolutely.
Was before all that came out.
Absolutely.
But my point is, you know, Oklahoma's going to be fine. I have no doubt. They're going to be fine. They might take a step back a couple years, but I think they got the right guy. I think they're going in the right direction where they want to be. But if it happened to any other program, I mean, that'd be pretty detrimental.
Well, here's the truth of it.
Not any other program.
When you get
lesser program.
When you start getting frustrated about losing guys, the truth is that portal goes both ways.
Sure does.
And
we've seen it already.
You lose and you get. You lose and you get. And it doesn't matter what size of program you are. It's just like the conference talk. Maybe you're not picking from the same pool, but if you lose to that higher pool, you've got guys around the country in your pool or maybe a smaller one that, quite frankly, might be better than the ones you lost. You just don't know. Saban was talking about how as soon as they start recruiting kids to to Bama using NIL money, he's done. He's not recruiting kids with promises. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't get it, but notice Bryce Young didn't get it until he was the quarterback.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Notice how they didn't, you know, now he can say that and he cannot be doing it. That's possible too. But that doesn't surprise me, because what do you not hear about from Alabama? You don't hear any of this.
No.
They're not in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes and who can pay him $5 million or whatever it is. They're not doing that. They're not doing that for any player. Now, when the quarterback of Alabama is Bryce Young and he's one of the Heisman favorites, somebody might want to pay him money. But he's on that campus. He's redshirted. You know what I mean? He isn't a recruit that's getting money without proving himself. And that's the secret to Bama and what Nick Saban's doing. He's not he has very little jealousy in that locker room. You know why? Because the guys that are reportedly getting the money have proved themselves worthy of getting the money. It's not some hotshot five-star quarterback out of high school that's getting paid $1.5 million just to show up. Those guys in that locker room in Alabama scoff at that. What? What have you done? We're over here playing for titles, bro.
Right.
You're coming out of high school. We don't want to hear that. So I think that's Saban's point. Sure, they'll use it, but they're not going to use it as a recruiting tool. Now, the school that did use it as a recruiting tool more than anybody, obviously, this cycle, was Texas A&M. Clearly, just paid dudes. And it's funny that Lane Kiffin was, he questioned how much luxury tax that Texas A&M had to pay for this class. How much they went above the salary cap.
It is tax season, so it's worth thinking about.
I mean, that's just
greatness.
There's
loopholes where, you know, I mean, the point charities and stuff, you know, like the Texas
sure,
thing,
whatever.
You know, you can write it off. I don't know.
But I think it's funny to me that he used that terminology, because everybody knows that they paid exorbitant amount of money for what they got coming in. Now, listen.
They've been doing it for
years. But on paper, they did it the right way, because they've got one of the best ones ever. So if you're – it reminds me of Norm Hitzkus in the 30 for 30 about SMU. He was like, you know, TCU was paying hundreds of thousands of dollars and going 3-7. That's a loser. At least SMU was bringing in the good guys and winning. You know, so far for A&M as far as the recruiting rankings. If they're going to cheat or if they're going to pay, they might as well pay the good ones. And it looks like maybe they did with that.
If I'm in the middle of the country like we are, and this is goes on unchecked, I think we're seeing it, and I said this at the beginning, I think we'll see it. We're going to see the haves and the have-nots, those being where it's attractive to play and where it's attractive to get the most money. So the LAs of the world, the Miamis of the world, I mean, shoot, even East Coast teams like Rutgers, which is crazy to say, but they're over there in that hotbed of a money-making area of New York. So it could trend that way where, you know, I said it before, say it again. You have the opportunity to make more money in those cities I talked about than, say, you do in Norman and Stillwater.
That's fine, but I also think that the guys that are making all that money that are doing something besides giving it to college kids, they're going to get tired of not seeing a return on their investment. Let's make fun of something.
Yeah, we don't do that enough.
The WFT.
Oh, yeah.
The Washington football team came out with their new name, and they are going to be called the Commanders. The Washington Commanders.
Okay.
I got to tell you, after, you know, there was a lot of different ideas floated out there over the last, 2 years almost, since the name change was inevitable. This one really, I would have rather it stayed the same.
Really?
Than the Commanders? What? And I get it. You have those. Their color scheme is one of those you recognize in the NFL, right?
Yeah,
the burgundy and the yellow, the white. You recognize it. But you know what you recognize it for? Not the Commanders.
No. You know, I heard there was a report they were actually going after, like, Red Hawks, but there was some licensing issues.
Yeah, I think there was some licensing with a couple of, or at least one of the names that they couldn't get a hold of.
Right.
Commanders? What's in the,
it took them 2 years to figure this one out?
I think it's terrible.
It is.
I mean, however,
I love it because we can make fun of it because they're one of our favorite teams' rivals in the division.
Well, the best part of the Commanders, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, is you can short it to the Commies.
Yep.
Which fits.
You got America's team going against the Commies.
The Commies from Washington, D.C. The Cowboys and the Commies. I can already see the T-shirts. It's like the Catholics and the convicts from Notre Dame, Miami.
We need
back
to
in the
jump
day.
On that. There's our.
Oh, American. I know. We shouldn't have said that out loud.
Oh, yeah. That's licensed.
Somebody
us.
Get that licensed.
Wow.
The Cowboys and the Commies. It is bad. I mean,
it's bad.
I, you know who I thought of very first when I heard this?
Who's that?
Chad Roper.
Yeah.
He was a WFT fan.
We should text him. Are you a Commie fan now? Are you a Commie? Are you part of the Communist Party? I'm going to text them right now, see if we can get a quick response.
The Commanders. The Washington Commanders. Just falls pretty flat for me versus what some of the other names. And you're right. There's a chance that, you know, what they were trying to do from a licensing standpoint was already taken, and you can't figure out a way to get that stuff, get on board with some of it. But, man, you'd also think that it'd be something better than this. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. What do you think? Obviously, on the rest of the ESPN's platforms for sure today, you're going to hear how the NFL is about to be done in.
Yeah, it's going to implode. That's the end of it. This is the last Super Bowl.
With the Brian Flores stuff.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that more tomorrow. We just didn't have time to get to it. You know, I think it's interesting that a guy – was 38 years old, got one of 32 head coaching jobs, and now wants to blame racism that he didn't get another one. Well, if the NFL was so racist, how did they hire you as a head coach in the first place?
That's true.
You know, there's some
was his record?
He had a couple of winning seasons. After
even a couple winning seasons?
Well, you know, I think that I can't wait to see what you think. So Stephen Ross, the owner, is alleged to have offered him $100,000 a loss
to
in 2019.
Yeah.
And that's the tank for Tua year.
Right.
Which turned out to be not tank for Tua. It turned out to be Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
How does that Miami Dolphins team look different?
Oh,
if Brian Flores would listen to the owner and they drafted Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah. 180, man. Totally 180. You think. I mean, there's different pieces around Joe Burrow, but like Chase.
Oh, they got Waddle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
I don't know if it holds a lot of water.
Oh, the racism stuff is going to hold almost no water.
Yeah.
I mean, there's legal people out there like this is – he's torpedoing his career for nothing from a legal standpoint. Now, that's obviously not what he's trying to do here. I mean, surely his lawyer's smarter than that. But I think it's interesting, and all it's designed for is to win the news cycle and not have anybody. It's just like anything else in media right now.
Oh,
make the claim, don't have to support it, and the people believe it.
Yeah, and that's what's happening already.
The headline is the headline, and then when you go back in 2 months and have to retract it, nobody cares because their minds are already made up.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I can't wait. I want to get in. Not the racism stuff is just it's not there. That it's not in the stuff that he's reported. It's just not. But the idea that the owner would pay for losses—that's the part that I want to talk about more.
You see, he's on the PR. Or he's on the media train.
Well, of course,
right now.
He's on Get Up at 9:30 this morning. He was on like Good Morning America. Because this stuff doesn't hold water.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.